Well, good morning. I'd like to give you a really warm welcome. Great to have you here. This morning, our pastor, John Cowley, will be speaking on the subject of a baby announcement with a difference. A baby announcement with a difference. So we're really looking forward to that a bit later in the service. Just to say as well, later tonight, we've got our annual candlelit carol service as well. So if you want to come back, 6:30 this evening, we'd love to see you for a candlelit carol service. And also, just a heads up, that if you come back next week, we'd love to see you next week as well, it's a 10:30 start because it's an all-age service. So 10:30, don't turn up at this time next week or you'll have missed a significant chunk of it. So 10:30 next Sunday morning. Well, we're going to sing. At Christmas time, we celebrate the king who was put in an animal trough, and it was an animal trough that wasn't even his own. So we're going to sing a song that thinks about some of these themes, which is From the Squalor of a Burrowed Stable. Oh, it is up there, so it's not another one. From the Squalor of a Burrowed Stable. So let's all stand and let's sing together. Pray together. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for what it says in Psalm 8. Oh Lord, oh Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Oh Lord God, you are so majestic and so glorious. And when we see the moon and the stars, Lord, it speaks of your glory. And Lord, now we have telescopes that can see so incredibly far. And that the more we understand about the universe, the more we realize that we just don't understand. The more we realize how so often we have to reshape what we think because there's so much we don't know. We become more aware of the vastness of the universe and the complexity of it. And so, Lord, we praise you for how great you are. And yet, Lord, as we've just been thinking, you are mindful of us. Lord, you care for us. You think about us. And at Christmas time, we remember that you became one of us. And so you know what it is like to be one of us. You know what life is like. And I just praise you for that this morning. And Lord, as we meet this morning with all our hopes and dreams and all our joys, but also with our sadnesses and with our anxieties, Lord, we thank you that you care about us. We thank you that you are thinking of us this morning. And we pray that you would help us to worship you. Lord, give us hearts of praise, I pray. And I pray that you'd help John later as he speaks to us from Luke. Lord, I really pray that you'd help him to speak clearly. Thank you for all the help that you've given him in his preparation this week. And I pray that it will be a message that stirs us up and that helps us in our living for you. So, Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what we're going to do now is we're going to read from the Gospel of Luke. This is what John's going to be speaking on a little bit later. So it's Luke chapter 1, and it's verses 26 to 45, and it's on the screen as well. So Luke chapter 1, and we're reading 26 to 45. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." So we're looking forward to John explaining that to us a little bit later. What we're going to do now is going to sing again while shepherds watch their flocks by night. We're going to sing, and then after that we're going to have the children's talk. So children, if you want to come up to the front after we've sung together. So if you can, do stand and let's sing. Good morning. Now, with Christmas coming up, I wanted to keep it Christmassy. And do you remember a couple of weeks ago, Josh did a talk on Advent calendars, and he said about things that to do with Christmas that aren't in the Bible. Now, I've got another thing that is to do with Christmas, but it's not in the Bible. So, I'm going to give you a clue. I think you guys might have seen something like this before. I'm going to give you a clue if I show you an orange. Any thoughts? Does that look a little bit familiar, Elle?
Like it's something, it's missing something poking out.
It is missing some things poking out. You're absolutely right. Yeah, and we're going to get onto that now. So, what I'm going to do, in fact, I'm very over-resourced here, so if anyone else is young, well, or not, and wants to come up and make a Christingle with us, then you'll be very, very welcome. Now, oh, there you go. Christine, got up on there already. They're the things that are missing, poking out, aren't they, Elle? And a candle as well. Second thought. Okay, so I'm going to... Molly, do you want to send them along? Now, these, Christingle was first made in 1747. Which was long before I was around, and anyone else in this room come to that. Are we missing one? And they were they were made by some people in Germany. And what we're going to do, these Christingles, they tell us a story all about Christmas and the reason for it. Okay? So, let's start by
thinking about what the orange might represent. What do you think the orange might represent? Molly? Pardon? The world, yeah, it's the world that God created. So we use an orange because it's round. Not as big as the world, is it? But it's round and a ball like the earth. And then we're going to put in there, remind ourselves of the things that God's given us. So we put things that, we poke things into it, don't we, Elle? And these represent the seasons that God gives us. Now, you meant to put fruit on it, but fruit's boring, isn't it? So we've got sweets. So I've got, which season do you think that one might represent? In my mind, this works.
Summer.
Summer, yeah, that's what I thought, because of the yellow sun, right? And what about those ones? Autumn. Winter, because of the snow, right? And then the green ones are spring, because that's when all the flowers grow, isn't it? So, if you take one each, now we have to be really careful, because the sticks are a little bit sharp, okay? So if you take one of each and pass the box along. And then once you've taken the sweets off, it's probably best if you give your sticks to your mum and dad. All right, that's it. You end up with your hands full, don't you? That's the trouble. There you go. So we're going to poke them in on each corner of the orange. So if we stick our four seasons in, like this, am I missing? Okay. Now this reminds us of all the good things that God gives us in all the different season and all the different food and things that God gives us. We get through the seasons, don't we? So we have all four. Has everyone got four in their orange? So we've got the wonderful world that God made us, and the four seasons, and all the little treats on the end of the stick, they remind us of all the good things that God gives us. Okay? Then we have this red band around the orange. What do you think that might represent? Red, it's a bit... What do you think, Evelyn? Sorry? So it's kind of the cure for sin. You're on the right lines for sure. Elle? That's absolutely right, yeah. When God sent Jesus, didn't he, into the world, and Jesus died on the cross, and that's where he had blood and from his hands and his side. And because Jesus did that, it reminds us that we're forgiven. Okay, so that's why we've got the red band around it. Okay, then finally, we have, yeah, what's missing? The candle. Right, so be really careful with it. Take one each. And you need to poke it in the top. Oh, is that one? There you go. Pop that one back in there. There you go. All right. Oh. That's it. Poke it in the top. All right. Poke it in there, sit right in the middle of the orange. Oh, don't worry about it. Worked at home, right? So, there you go, stick your candle in. And what do you think a candle, why? What's candle got to do with it, do you think? Go on now. Oh, you've done this before, haven't you? Yeah, Jesus is the light of the world. So that's when we can light our candle. There you go. And then we've got Jesus being the light of the world. And that reminds us that where darkness is, well, where light is, darkness can't be. And so that's why we remember that Jesus is the light of the world. If I light these for you, are you going to be really careful? Yeah. And then you've got to blow it out before we leave, though, right? You have to hold it with two hands, I would, just in case. That's it. Yeah, I tell you, it might be easy to. Yeah. Okay, you hold in that tight. No. There you go. There, so we've got the light of the world. So just to remind us, God created the world. He provides us lots of good things, the sweets that you can go back to your seat and eat. And he provides the best thing, Jesus Christ, who gave his life and shed blood on the cross for us so that our sins are all paid for. And then Jesus is the light of the world. And where Jesus is, when we have Jesus in our heart, the darkness isn't there. So, should we blow the candles out just for, yeah, just to make us feel a bit more comfortable? Okay, great. Right. Brilliant. Well, look, hopefully you'll remember that. Take that home. I might just want your parents just to make sure it's all back in securely. Eat the treats, but remember God's love to us and everything he did. And it's always a good excuse to get this verse on the board. Just to remind us. Oh, sorry, would you mind flicking it on, James? There you go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shouldn't perish but have eternal life. And God gave Jesus, blood around the world to save us from our sins. So hopefully you remember all that, and perhaps you'll be able to, your mums or dads might test you when you get back home. Brilliant. Well done. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, we're going to pray again now. Just before I pray, just mention that there is an envelope for everyone or every family in a wicker basket in the foyer. So do please take that. It's just got a little card inside for this time of the year, a little message on. So yeah, do either take it or pass them on to others so that they're all received in the next week or two. Shall we join together in prayer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in praise at this time. We remember Mary who wanted to magnify the Lord. And we pray that we might make your name big in our minds as we recognize more and more of who you are and what you've done. That there will be a sense of awe and praise to our great God. We think of the way in which she rejoiced in God, her Saviour, and we pray that we might rejoice in the fact that a Saviour has come and that might enter into us with freshness at this time of the year. We think of the sense of humble wonder that she felt, that she should be blessed, and we too, who have Jesus as our Saviour, are blessed in a way which we don't deserve, and we pray to feel a sense of humble wonder at this time of year. We praise you that you are the God who visits and has come to the earth, the God who saves, the God who remembers his promise to his people in Old Testament, that you are the God who forgives, and that you are the God who gives light into our darkness. We thank you that the light of the world has come. And these are dark days, naturally, and perhaps that gets some of us low. And sometimes our circumstances can be dark, and that can get us low. And our sin, when we think of it, is something which discourages us and makes us very concerned because we know we've done things wrong before you, Lord. And we thank you that the light of the world has come. We pray to rejoice in that at this Christmas time. Lord, we do thank you for the many things that have happened in the life of this church over this time. We think of the events of this last week, and we praise you for all that's happened and all that's gone well. We thank you for the first steps Christmas party We thank you for the time together for ACE. We thank you for the YP's banquet, for the good times, for the care of those who've organised things and led, and for the messages that have been got across. Lord, we do pray for your blessing on them, on those who've heard these things. We pray for other things that are occurring, especially tonight, with hopefully quite a number of extras here for the candlelit carol service. We pray that that will go well in terms of the practicalities and all that goes on to support a service like that. And we pray that people might be thoughtful about their need of Jesus, and that you would make that very significant in people's lives. We pray too for the build-up to the all-age service next Sunday, and pray that that too may be used by you in your kindness to bless people deep down in their souls. We know that much happens at this time of year. We think of what's done in schools, often drawing attention to the Christmas message. We pray for those occasions that young minds may hear Bible-based accounts of your truth and of Jesus coming into the world, that it might stay in their mind, arouse interest in their minds. We think of many other churches. We know that the Anglican churches have extra opportunities at this time of year. We pray for those locally and in the region about us. We pray that you might use these things for people's spiritual good. We know that a lot has happened in universities where they've had carol concerts in recent weeks. And we pray, Lord, that you might bless young minds with truth from your word. Do work kindly and powerfully at this time of year, we pray. Lord, we do pray that you would be with us as a church. We thank you for all those who give so much in the life of this church, so freely, willingly, bearing stress in serving and in leadership. Help those who lead different groups, bless them, encourage them. Lord, we pray for our deacons and ask that you'll be with them in the many ways they support the life of the church here. And we pray that you'll bless the elders in the church here. And as they meet this week and think through some of the suggestions and comments made in the questionnaires, and reflect on that, we pray for wisdom. We pray for your name to be glorified. We pray for a right sense of perspective. We pray for good things to come out of this process, which are a real blessing to people here and to the church and its ministry. We pray, Lord, for our mission partners in Cyprus particularly. We ask for James and the church there to be blessed at this time of year, when it's not been an easy patch for them. They've been encouragements, but also difficulties and challenges. We pray that the word will go out to the English-speaking students and to the local Cypriots at this time. Do give strength and help to those involved, we pray. And as we come this morning to your word, and we think of Mary and the way she reflected on your word, she treasured it up, it affected her, she mulled over it. And we pray that in this busy time of life when there are many pressures, that you will help us too to reflect on your word, to have a tender heart, to take it in, to be pointed to Jesus. So do help us as we're in your word this morning. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Right, we're going to go to our third hymn. I don't know if has anyone got their Christingle. I could do with a Christingle. Any one of them there? Or representative one? You've disarmed it. I've got what I need there, Luke. Don't worry. I need this one. Thank you. Oh, okay. There we go. Our next hymn, I just thought when we were going through it, our next hymn is based really on the white season, the winter season, because we're going to be singing a song, a carol, and it's sort of set in the wintry conditions, but it looks to the good news of the coming of Jesus and celebrates that. So, see amid the winter snow, born for us on earth below, see the Lamb of God appears, promised from eternal years. Let's stand to sing this carol through. Well, in gloomy days, in dark days, baby announcements, pregnancy announcements, are often a source of joy and good news. See, there can be concerns and complications in this fallen, broken world, but generally they're a point of excitement that in the past got the phone lines going, and perhaps more currently gets the media, social media apps buzzing as ultrasound scans and other cute images are sent round to announce the news. Here's one that one of my daughters sent me of one of their friends recently, November, and there you are, a message goes round saying that a baby is on the way. And maybe you've had something like that in your family recent months or recent years, or you can think back to them. The time you heard that on the way was a grandchild, or a baby brother, or a little niece, or maybe a close friend is starting a family. Well, this morning we're going to look at a baby announcement or a pregnancy announcement, and it is one that gives joy and excitement, but it's very different from the ones that we hear about and have heard about in our family lives. It comes in three parts in Luke 1, but we're especially going to concentrate this morning on the middle verses, the middle part. And I'm going to read verses 30 to 34 again. And you haven't heard a baby announcement like this, have you? Think about some of the differences in this to our baby announcements as I read it again. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" Well, here's a couple of big differences, just for starters, just to get us going. Well, she was a virgin. We're told that a couple of times in verse 27. We're told it in verse 34. She was betrothed, a sort of engagement plus, if you like, as I had it in those days. But she's not married. She hasn't slept with Joseph. She is a virgin, yet she's going to give birth. A miracle is going on here. It's a big difference. Maybe we'll hear a little bit more about that next Sunday evening. Another big difference. The announcer is an angel. Verse 30. And the angel said to her, it's a divine messenger from God who's giving this news. It's none other than Gabriel himself. Verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. Usually the announcer is the parents themselves. And here, this unknown, this poor girl from the back street town of Nazareth is told that a baby is on the way. But the main difference I want to focus on this morning is about the baby himself. And this is what comes out in what the angel says in these verses, verses 31 to 33. Now, Mary had a lot to take in, didn't she? She had a lot to take in. I'm not sure I've thought about it quite as much in the past. All in one encounter, she learns that she's expecting, even though she's never slept with a man. And then in the same encounter, she learns what sort of baby is inside her. A lot to take in. But the description of the baby inside her is to help her because, you know, she was terrified at the sight of the angel. It says she was greatly troubled. And what she's told about the baby himself not only is amazing in what it says about the baby, but it will have a settling effect on Mary and her heart. It will help her to piece things together in her mind with all that she's got to take in. I don't suppose any of us have seen angels. Maybe you have. You can tell me about that later. But I'd be surprised if any of us have seen angels. But we do have things which also greatly trouble us. Maybe you're troubled this morning as you've walked up the car park into the building. And maybe as we look at some of this news this morning, I'm having a settling effect on us as well. Well, what does she learn about this baby? We often don't know much, do we, about babies that are on the way. More and more these days, it seems as though the gender is known and the gender is publicised. And maybe as well as these ultrasounds go around me, if you know how to understand and interpret ultrasound scans, maybe you can study it, you can find out a little bit more. And sometimes people have guesses, don't they? They say, well, the baby's kicking so much, I think I've got a footballer inside me or something like that. Or I'm sure a fidget is on the way, or this one's going to be much calmer than the others because it's all quite quiet and content. But we just have vague guesses of the baby that is on the way. But here there are four things particularly which the angel says to Mary about the baby that is inside her, which I think it would be good for us to absorb this morning. The first is his importance. His importance. It says in verse 32, he will be great. He will be great. I don't know if you would want your child to have greatness. Could be a mixed blessing, couldn't it? Maybe you'd like it. Maybe you think, well, I'd like them to be famous. I'd like them to be influential. If they were in the history books, if they'd have their own Wikipedia entrance just about them, if they would make the news. Well, here we're told of Jesus, he will be great. He will be great. John the Baptist, we were told a bit earlier, was going to be great before the Lord. But here it's even more impressive. It stands alone. It's just, he will be great. He will be great. The word on its own is quite emphatic. It's often reserved just for God. The baby inside you will be great. Will be above all things. Will be worthy of attention. This baby is a baby of greatness, of status, of importance, of influence, deserving praise. Now, you may or may not think that Jesus is great. But God's messenger has declared that he is. And perhaps you'd better catch up with the angel thinking. He shall be great. The second thing is his title. His title. The angel tells Mary he shall be great, and it carries on, and will be called the Son of the Most High. Will be the Son of the Most High. So, he could be called and would be called the son of Joseph. He could be called the son of Mary. Those were both true. But there's something much bigger going on here. something much bigger going on here. When people announce babies on the way, you know, Henry and Trish announce the birth of their son, perhaps after the baby has come, and they don't claim more than that. He is our son. We're telling you of our son that is born. But the angel says that this one coming is the Son of the Most High. The Son of the Most High. The Most High? That is God. 54 times God is called the Most High in the Bible, according to my computer. In speaking about royalty in the UK, we might sometimes say His Royal Highness or Her Royal Highness. We have a little bit of a concept of highness and importance, but you can't get higher than God. God is the Most High. Psalm 113 is a psalm of highs and lows. And it says this in the middle, "The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high?" John the Baptist will be called, later on in the chapter, the prophet of the Most High. It's quite a role. But here, Jesus is the Son of the Most High. And that's a big difference. Mary, you are the chosen instrument to carry and bear God's Son come to earth. He is the Son of the Most High. Perhaps you stand in awe, do you, of high things? Perhaps if somebody is well over 6 feet, you feel a bit daunted when you're talking to them. Perhaps you feel quite small before a skyscraper, or even more against a mountain. Jesus is the Son of the Most High. Deserves respect. A sense of awe-ness. Have you got a sense of the highness and importance of this baby who's come, the Son of the Most High? We find out in what Gabriel says to Mary about his seat. About his seat. Now, when you think of babies and seats, you usually think of push chairs and you think of high chairs. And of course, Jesus would have his first century equivalent of those things. He would be a real baby, he would be a real child. But that's not the seat that the angel has in mind in what he talks about. He says, "And the Lord God would give to him the throne of his father David." Tells Mary of the throne he would have. The child would have a throne. It's symbolic language. He would be a king. None of us, when we hear of a baby being born in our family, none of us have that sense of our child or our grandchild having a throne, do we? I suppose it would be true for William and Kate when it must have been a strange thing, mustn't it, when George was born, to actually think that this baby will have a throne, if all goes well, and to plan that they will sit on a coronation throne. Must be quite weird to think that. But we don't have that. It's not an issue for us. Our children in our families are not going to be on thrones. But here he shall have a throne. He will be a king. And it will be the throne of David. The throne of David? There was a promise in the Bible that from David's line, King David's line, there would be a king always on the throne. And that seemed to have been kicked into the long grass. But it's not been forgotten about in the purposes of God. It was still very much alive. And Jesus, God's Son, would be that king who would be on that throne, a king over God's people. Well, in what ways would Jesus be king? He had no literal throne. The closest he came to such things was when the crown of thorns was put on his head, and he was wearing a purple cloak out of mockery. Now, there wasn't a literal throne and kingliness for Jesus, but it's still clear that he was a king. Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world." He said that the kingdom of God was within you. His reign is over people's lives as they follow him and acknowledge him as the right and wise and good leader of their lives. And that kingship would be increasingly acknowledged, and it would be increasingly public. His resurrection was key. After that, he says, "All authority in heaven and earth is given to me." He's received back into his rightful place in heaven as the conquering king. One day that will be widely acknowledged. Philippians 2 tells us that that same Jesus who came to earth in a low position, who took the form of a servant, who went all the way to the cross in his lowness, would be seen in this light. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Of course, the wise men had the foresight to see this, didn't they? Children's talk last week reminded us about the wise men, and they acknowledged the kingness of Jesus even when he was so small as a human baby. And it's good for us to ask, do we see this baby that we're reminded of at this time of year as a king? Do we see him as our king? Does his teaching and his example hold sway over our lives? Solomon was a wise king, wasn't he, in his early years. And one of the other regional monarchs, the Queen of Sheba, the Queen of the South, came to see him, and she noticed in those early years how happy people were to be part of his kingdom and to have him as their king. Well, it's a very happy place, you know, to have Jesus as your king, to be one of his people, to acknowledge him as ruler over your life. His seat, a throne. And then the fourth part of what she hears is about his reign. His reign. Verse 33. And especially the duration or length of his reign. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Forever. No end. I don't know what it makes you think of. Made me think of Queen Elizabeth II when I was thinking about length of reign. I don't know if that was where your mind would go. Her reign of 70 years and 214 days. The longest of any British monarch. Colossal length of time, isn't it? In fact, the second longest of any sovereign in the world. Anyone know who the longest reign? I didn't know till this morning. I checked out, or late last night. Last night, I think. Louis XIV, French king, 17th century. I think he was only four when he became king, so it's a little bit easier for him than the queen who was here. 72 years, 110 days long, but finished. I was talking with somebody in Wetherspoons on Thursday, and we're just talking about this verse and this concept of reigning, and he said, well, it made him think of Charles III, and when he was crowned, he found himself thinking, well, how long is Charles going to be king? Maybe you thought along those lines. You think, well, you know, 74, it's quite, you know, got a quite an age already. Of course, since he's had, poor fellow's had health issues, and you think, perhaps many of you are thinking, well, I think I'm likely to see another coronation in my lifetime before long. Maybe you thought, 10 years, is he going to be around 10 years? Passing, limited. And here this baby, his reign, he will reign over the house of Jacob, over the people of God, God's people, Israel, spiritual Israel. He will reign over them forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. We're not starting our candlelit carol service with Isaiah 9 tonight, but many do. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it. This baby's influence was here to stay. Although his life would be moderate in length, human life, died in his early 30s. He is alive and he continues to reign. He is enthroned in glory. The risen Lord Jesus has been received back as the conquering king, and nothing will topple him. His reign will not have an end date. His reign will finally be declared and submitted to by all of us, willingly or reluctantly. It will reach the point described in Revelation 11 and verse 15. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Tremendous high things of the baby that was born. So different from a normal baby or pregnancy announcement. And all of this for the believer gives consolation. And that's a note I just want to tease out at the end here. You notice how this middle part of the baby announcement starts. Verse 30, do not be afraid. Mary was troubled. She was greatly troubled. And the word is a very strong word. In fact, it implies that she was more troubled than Zechariah, who'd been troubled earlier on in the chapter. And she was more troubled than Herod, who's going to be pretty troubled in Matthew 2 when he learns of the news. It's a stronger word. Her heart is really stirred up. Mary, at the start of this encounter. And maybe your heart is greatly troubled, stirred up. the seasonal circumstances, just bring that on you. You're a thoughtful guy, and the world circumstances, bring that on you. The very difficult personal circumstances or family circumstances. I can think a good number of us this morning come troubled or greatly troubled. Difficult to piece everything together of what's happening. Well, one of the great things that would calm the troubled waters of Mary's heart was to hear of the sort of person that was inside of her. To hear who he was, to hear what his role would be, to hear of his kingship. If you like, his reign would reign in her fear. His reign, his forever reign, would reign in her fear. And I think that's one of the things that might happen this morning for us as we think about these words. The ongoing reign of Jesus, his high status, who's come into the world, is very securing, is very calming, is very settling, pieces things together even when so much else is chaotic. So what will happen in 2025 for you? I don't know, we can only guess. But Jesus will still be on the throne. In difficult times that lay ahead, or that you're experiencing now. I've been reading a little book this week. It's been very helpful, written by somebody in ministry. And this struck me. I read this, I think, yesterday. And this is what he said in a difficult moment. What kept me going in the darkest times was my confidence that the Lamb was on the throne. Darkest times, Jesus reigns. The Lamb is on the throne, under control, going somewhere, part of a plan. Now the Beatles song, I think it's the Beatles, isn't it? When I'm 64. What about when you're 64? Well, some of you, that's gone past, but some of you think ahead and it's a little way ahead, or for some of you it's a few decades. When I'm 64, what am I going to be like? What's my health going to be like? What's my family circumstances going to be like? You don't necessarily, will you still need me, will you still love me when I'm 64? But when you're 64, Jesus, still on the throne. When I face the frailty of the older years, and I experience, probably in the pattern of things, some deterioration in my body and in my mind, and it's hard to think about, and I don't know how it's going to happen, Jesus is still on the throne. No end to his reign, his control, his oversight. He's working his purposes out. When my time on earth is done, when I'm no longer around, when things have moved on, when it's memories over me and photos about me, Jesus is still on the throne. And believer, you are linked with Jesus in an unbreakable way, because nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. And his cross and his resurrection and his enthronement, even then, when you've reached your end date, whatever it is, that if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are still secure, because he is still on the throne. So we looked at a baby announcement with a difference. We've paused to think of his greatness, his title, of his throne, of his reign. But I hope it comes as well with a sense of comfort to some of us this morning as well, as it did to Mary. Remember these things and do not be afraid. Well, let's just have a pause. Maybe something in what we've looked at in God's Word has been especially helpful or challenging this morning. Let's have a moment just to pray personally before we sing our last song. Well, shall we end with a song of worship, acknowledging both the humanity and the godness of the Lord Jesus Christ, meekness and majesty, manhood and deity, in perfect harmony, the man who is God. With a spirit of worship, let's sing our last song. We finish our service with a sense of adoration in praise to the Word which became flesh and dwelt among us. And we finish our service with a sense of assurance as Mary was comforted by the fact she heard of the baby inside her. So we reflect with amazement and comfort and consolation on the Lord Jesus Christ, his kingship and his reign. We pray that those two themes of adoration and assurance may stay with us as we leave this service. Praying in Jesus' name, Amen.